Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the full moon that happened on February 19th, 2019 in Virgo at 10:54 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. In this show, we will explore the relationship between human thinking and divine knowing. Listen as we discuss the importance of faith as belief in truth in human development. The sum of the parts do not equal the whole. Faith is indivisible. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience liberty and justice for all. So, Swami, that sounds pretty good, but let's talk about the title of the show. What is worship?
Yeah, worship, I think, is adoration. And the topic of the show is worship possible without faith? I would have to say yes. I think you can worship anything. You can worship a rock. You can worship a person. You can worship your car. You can worship your house. You can worship a state. We can worship anything. We can adore. We can have affection for all of these things. But what I think we're really trying to do with these programs is to try and understand what we really mean by worshiping this concept of God and faith. And that's what we said in the opening, that faith as belief in truth, not belief in just anything, but belief in something very specific. And in this model, truth is really belief in the allness of an indestructible principle. Now, you can call this whatever you want. You can call it God. You can call it the life force. You can call it Sydney. It doesn't matter what you call it. The thing that we are really trying to learn is that it is a law. It is a principle. Just like the Wright brothers had figured out the laws of aeronautics, and they were able to fly planes. If we can start to figure out divine law, then we will know the truth that makes us free. And what it makes us free from is the law of karma, the laws of matter, the laws of limitation.
And I think that's something that we all strive deep down, that we know that that's what we want to do, or that we need to do. But yet, as I say in all these shows, we still have to live in this world. So how can we do both of those? How can we be free from karmic law and still try to have this oneness with the divine?
Well, it's actually when you have the oneness with the divine, when you acknowledge the presence of this divine law, this principle that is present here now, that's what activates it, and it dissolves the law of karma. So it's not like you can worship two different gods. It really comes down to either you sow to the flesh or you sow to the spirit. Only the difference is going to be found in your result. It's like what they say in the Bible. You can't get grapes from thorns, and you can't get figs from thistle, and you can't get truth and wholeness from fear and limitation. So if we draw from the flesh, if we draw from particles or waves, then we are under the law of karma. But if we draw from the divine law of life, if we draw from this invisible, intangible source, then we are under the divine law. The major difference is karmic law is a belief in two powers, good and evil, and divine law is a belief in one power, which is absolute goodness.
Now, is that what you mean when we talk about human thinking and divine knowing? Like in our summary for the show, it said we would explore the relationship between human thinking and divine knowing. Now, is that what you just explained? Is that what you mean by that, about human thinking?
Yeah, all human thinking is based on contrast. It's all based on sensual perception, sense-level logic. It's all based on the testimony of our senses. In order for something to appear in our senses, it must manifest. In order for it to manifest, it must split from unity. And when it does this, it manifests in half, and it leaves behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. That's an important thing that we talk about, that the sum of the parts don't equal the whole. And even say, for example, when I was going to school, that they used to do a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Now, since then, from what I understand, they've taken that out of the equation. And one of the major reasons they did was because it mentioned God. When you look at the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all, that this concept of God, this concept of spirit, is really the changeless state of being. It is the glue of creation. And if we don't acknowledge it, we don't activate it. And when you don't activate it, then you now limit yourself to being under what was called the law. But it's the law of karma. And it is the law of reciprocity. So what we put out is what we get back, kind of a thing. And even say, for example, if you read the Old Testament, what they call God in the Old Testament is really the law of karma, because it's a God that gives and takes away. It is a God that rewards and punishes. But in truth, the concept of God is unity. It's indivisible. The more I think that we start to understand this and we start to look at total consciousness, we start to look at the causal spiritual dimension of reality as an absolute. Human thinking is all based on duality. But divine knowing, that is all based on the absolute. That the divine doesn't compartmentalize. It sees everything as a different aspect of itself.
So I was just thinking, when you were talking about the God from the Old Testament, is that the God that people shake their fists at if things aren't going their way? Oh God, why did you do this to me? Why is this happening in my life? And how do we know, or how do we introduce ourselves to the God in the New Testament?
Yeah, I think the Bible tells us to know God aright. And that's, I think, a big part of why things aren't working the way we're going about it. It's because we don't understand how divine law works. We're trying to bring God into our human experience. But really, the way that it works is that we as a human must recognize the presence of the divine experience, which is happening now. Only it will not report in our finite five-sense mind. So we have to learn how to think differently. And it all starts with knowing spirit, knowing what is spirit, because just like you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You can see the trees moving. You can see the grass moving. You can see things blowing around on the ground. And the same is true with spirit. The presence of spirit, the presence of divine law, reveals itself as all the good, beautiful, and true things that are happening in our awareness. And the more that you can start to look at and understand that spirit is absolute goodness, it's absolute life, it's eternal life, then you will be able to recognize it when it does kind of cross your senses. But by the other token, you have to know God aright, and you have to know that God is invisible and intangible. And in order for us to really resonate to that, we must know ourselves in the way that we are known by the divine, which means we have to know ourselves not as a corporeal, finite appearance, but as a spiritual, eternal being. Invisible, intangible.
Swami, you mentioned a few minutes ago about knowing God aright. And so I had a question for you. So I was talking with a neighbor earlier, and he was explaining to me a couple of things that kind of struck me. And one was he was having some shoulder problems. And then he was talking about getting married and how much it was going to cost. And it was all about this, what we would call this lack of, you know, financial need or lack in general. So would that be an example of not knowing God aright?
Yeah, exactly. To know the truth of your being is to understand the perfection of being, the beauty of holiness, that creation, that what God created is whole, complete, perfect now. Now, what we don't understand is that we are in a concept of that creation, which is basically a false sense of existence. And it's not real. When they say it's not real, it's not backed by divine law. It's not backed by the principle. Now, what makes it seem enduring is that we believe in it. We believe in sickness. We believe in lack. But what we don't understand is that our belief in sickness, our belief in lack, is really in violation and disobedience to a belief in this divine law, this principle of life. And so we kind of declare the Christ, but we live out from the world, is what happens. And the way we're going about it is that we don't understand how it's working. That in reality, if somebody is experiencing sickness, suffering, lack, any kind of discord, anything that does not reveal the harmony and the bliss and the beauty of divine law, then you have a belief in something other than it. And it is your belief in that that creates it, perpetuates it.
So this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will return with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear. wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I came across a post that I wanted to share with everybody today, and this is by Herb Fitch from Spiritual Illumination, Infinite Way Book Study 1969. And I'm going to read this passage because I thought it was really very good. And it states, "The soul is expressing perfect divinity, translating it into light, which will move through you, outpicturing itself as form. You are in an infinite computer, and it is all you. We all have this built-in grace. This one grace functions as all. Now take another look at every defect that you think is in your life and recognize that it does not exist in divine consciousness flowing through your soul into invisible patterns of divine idea. There is no place there where a defect exists. But if there is one out here, or two, or three, something is happening in between the invisible and the visible. The reality of you is without defect. The appearance of you may be with defect. Something in between has caused that distortion. That something in between is your consciousness. Your consciousness of the divine light of your soul, or your consciousness of the cosmic television of this world through your senses, is determining whether or not a defect or many defects appear out here. Your consciousness is externalizing as defect or lack of it. You are either tuned to your soul or you are tuned to this world. You are either living in the one mind or you're living through the five senses. You are making the pictures that are out here. You are making the weather. You are making all that appears on this earth for you. This is your world, or it is your heaven, and where your consciousness is anchored will determine whether it is your world or your heaven." And I thought that that was pretty powerful, as that kind of sums up what you've been saying all along in these radio shows. And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this particular posting.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Sums up just about everything that we're saying. And how we think is what we become. But as we've been talking about, is that we have ways and modes of thinking. And some of them are limiting us to the law of karma. But if we can figure out that there is one mind, and then be able to understand what it looks like when we recognize this one mind, it really helps us to start to demonstrate this divine law. And like we had said in other shows, Bicknell Young says, human dominion is simply God's perfect law. Now, all that means is we have to attune ourselves to it. We have to recognize it, and by acknowledging its presence, we activate it in our consciousness. When you do that, you are basically thinking with God as God, which is something that Mary Baker Eddy suggests that we do.
It kind of reminds me of something I've heard before, and that is, you can make a heaven out of a hell or a hell out of a heaven. You know, when he says in that post about, you know, it's up to you what it is that you bring into your life.
And thinking makes it so. And this is something that's backed by science today. that observation has effect on reality, and it is the observer that sets the measurement. And the more that we drill down with that, in fact, that's how Jesus could heal. By seeing someone in the perfection of their being changed how they saw themselves.
So Jesus didn't really look at a blind person. He looked at them as somebody who was perfect, but yet he knew what to do to make them so they could see again.
Right, by seeing them in the perfection of their being, that it actually raised their consciousness. Just like when the tide comes in, it lifts all the boats. And even, say, for example, like people go to a spiritual leader. In yoga, we call that darshan. To be seen by somebody who has achieved that level of consciousness and to see you in that light lifts you out of a limited sense of who you are. And I think on even, say, for example, on a small scale, you know how we gravitate towards people who like us. When you are amongst people who admire you and look up to you, that it's really uplifting for you. And the reverse is just the same. That if people that have a very low opinion of you or dislike you or see all of the faults that may appear to them, then it brings you down.
Can I ask you another question about Jesus and healing the blind man? There's a story in the Bible where he sees this blind man and he approaches him and he puts mud on his eyes and then tells him to go wash it off. And then when he does that, he'll be able to see. Do you think that maybe he did that physical action of putting the mud on his eyes because that's how we as humans, that's how we operate, that we need to think that something physical had to happen or something had to be put on us to heal?
I think you're 100% right, but I don't think that's why Jesus did that in that particular instance. I think it's more symbolic with regard to what it was that Jesus was trying to do here. He was really trying to see the nothingness of matter, and the washing away of the dirt on the eyes symbolized the simple fact that we don't see because we have eyes. Basically, we have eyes because we can see, that it's vision that creates the eye. And I think we approach our lives from the reverse level of understanding, that we think that we can see because we have an eye. And we think that the physical eye is what is supporting the life. But it's 180 degrees from that. It is the presence of spirit that is the only life that there is.
So I'd like to get back to the actual title of the show, which is Worship Possible Without Faith? And I know you've talked about faith before, but I just wondering if we could drill down with that a little bit more.
Well, I think what we want to try and do is make a distinction between belief and faith. And one of the things that I have been saying all along, that belief is what gives thought the power of intention. And so that's, I think, 100% right. And the difference between belief and faith is that faith is belief in truth. We can believe in anything, and we can pretty much demonstrate to a certain level based on belief. Because with belief, you can fix your back. You can perform tasks. But basically what you're doing is you're changing finite bad to finite good. You're changing bad health to good health. You're changing lack to abundance. But all of these changes are subject to change themselves. That so the good that you create can become bad, or the abundance that you are experiencing can become lack. You can be impoverished. Whereas truth is belief in divine law. Spirit is principle. It is the self-existent force of this universe. It doesn't require belief that it has its own power. And so when you have faith in this divine law, then you are backed by principle.
All right, so let's talk about different approaches to life. Is there a difference between secular versus spiritual?
Oh, in my opinion, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that we started to talk about, this whole thing of taking the concept of God out of the equation. That for a lot of people, God is, again, something you believe in. But what we haven't really done is understand how to test what it is that you believe in. And is there a difference between a secular approach to life and a spiritual approach to life? Now, because most of what we are calling spiritual isn't really spiritual at all, and we don't know God aright, there really doesn't seem to be much of a difference between a secular and a spiritual approach to life, because we're not putting it up against what I would call the litmus test. Can it heal the sick? Can it raise the dead? Because this is what Mary Baker Eddy did with Christian Science, that she said that divine law, divine science is demonstrable. And the way that you kind of ring it on the anvil, you test the metal of your level of understanding of life or understanding of yourself by, are you in harmony with this divine law, or are you still under the law of karma? Do you still have a belief in matter?
And before we end our program, I see in your notes you have a really great summary about a quote from Herb Fitch. And I was wondering if maybe you could review that with our listeners today.
Where he says, "Be ye perfect" means accept your eternal life now. And even though your sense testimony cannot give you the evidence of that, learn to live from the level of consciousness which accepts that eternal life. Living that level of knowledge, which is actually a new level of faith, not the level of knowledge which is based upon what I personally know, but rather living from that level of knowledge based upon the life eternal that is mine now, and accepting that life to be the living spirit of the living God. See, now to me, that's faith. That's what we're talking about. That you have belief, and here you're changing finite thinking, human thinking, and exchanging it for divine knowing. And when you know this truth, that's what makes you free. And what it makes you free of is the law of karma.
Wow, another great show. So listeners, be sure to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. Lots of tools on that website to continue your learning experience. And don't forget, from the site, you can also join Swami every Wednesday at noon for his free webinar that he has. You can discuss any type of spiritual curiosities that you might have. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to worship with faith their belief in the one power and start to demonstrate divine law in their experiences. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.